The AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast is a series of fireside chats with business leaders in Southeast Asia focused on growth in the region. Topics discussed include business strategy, sales and marketing, enterprise technology, and innovation.
Hello and welcome to the AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast, where we sit down with individuals responsible for driving growth within their organizations, especially within the Southeast Asian region. My name is Erza. I'll be your host today. And we have a very special guest with us, joining us from Thailand. We have Kunnusara, who is the president and CEO of Ocean Life Insurance. Over the past few episodes, we've looked at a lot of digital companies here within Southeast Asia. We looked at Axiata, we looked at Kopi Kenangan. Today, we're going to look at a company which has been around for a long time, over 70 years in Thailand, and how they are growing within Thailand, and what kind of digital adoption, what kind of initiatives they're using to drive growth over the last 10, 15, 20 years. As I mentioned earlier, I'm very happy to have Kunnusara with us. She will be able to explain a little bit more about Ocean Life Insurance, but effectively, it's an insurer based out of Thailand. They have over 17,000 agents nationwide, as well as 143 branches. Kunnusara, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm sure you can give a better introduction of your company as compared to what I just did. So maybe I'll hand it over to you.
Yes, certainly. First of all, my name is Nusara Banyat Piyaphot. I'm Thai, and I'm currently CEO and President of Ocean Life Insurance Public Company Limited, which is located here in Thailand. As you mentioned, the company has been here over 73 years. We have been operating through basically our major distribution channel is the agency channel, followed by bank insurance, group life insurance, personal accident, etc. With Ocean Life Insurance, I have been leading the company for the past 12 years. My background actually had not been anything to do with insurance in the old days. I was running real estate business for over 20 years. I was enjoying designing the buildings, building office buildings, rather title for sales, residential condominiums, all the high-end stuff, including hotels, resorts, marina. At the same time, I was running international schools here in Thailand. Currently, I'm running two international schools here in Thailand. And then because the business is owned by my family, my father was the one who built Ocean Life Insurance and the company within the group. In 1996, and you could imagine when economic crisis hit Thailand, I was requested by my father to lead the investment department of Ocean Life Insurance. Luckily, my background was about numbers. I graduated with finance, accounting, mathematics, and part of the engineering. So that helped me somewhat to start working in life insurance in investment department. But investment department, it had nothing to do with sales, marketing, you know, the real core of the life insurance. So I've been doing investment for, at that time, about 14 years. Until I was asked to lead Ocean Life Insurance as the president and CEO of the company in 2010. And that's where I started to learn everything from scratch. So I was pretty much kindergarten kids in life insurance since then. I've been doing that for 12 years now.
Just on a personal note, it's interesting you mentioned that. I think a lot of people are very, very interested, especially nowadays, right, with the younger generation coming up. What did it take for you to transition from a finance, real estate background into the insurance space? You mentioned insurance is a lot about sales and marketing and distribution, right? What was the most difficult thing you think you had to do during the early transition?
I think first of all, you have to unlearn and relearn again. So it doesn't matter what age you are. At that time, I was 48 and I have to relearn something new. I was a bit lucky because number was something I'm pretty good at. So I could get hold of the figures, trying to understand it. Whether or not I do understand, I find ways to understand it. But the most challenging aspect, when you step into a company that is this large, it is about changing and managing change, driving change, at the same time, be empathizing with your team, understand them. So rather than complaining to them, I took an approach with much more empathizing of trying to understand them, not blaming them. I would say it was the company's fault for being like this and like that, and let's try to fix it. At the same time, changing the company involves getting people to be on board in line with your ideas, your directions, why things has to be changed, and engaging them into part of the change process. I think that is the toughest thing. If I recall back about 12 years ago, right now it's not exactly the same like that anymore. But at that time, 12 years ago, it was tough. It was totally tough.
I can imagine.
You don't have the people you want. You don't have the qualified people you want. And you just have to help them learn, help them understand, and hopefully with the background that they had, and they have been with the company for a long time, many of them can actually relearn.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, especially coming from a more, I would say, mathematical engineering investment background going into insurance and distribution, I think must have been something that was really quite a big change for you. Having said that, you know, you've run Ocean Life Insurance now for the last 12 years, in fact, right? Give me a sense about how things, a lot has happened in Thailand, in Southeast Asia over the last 12 years, and you've been at the center of it all. And I'm sure the last 2 years especially has been interesting for you. Something else that has developed over the last 3 to 5 years, on top of COVID, of course, was the rise of digital channels of distribution for both financial products, as well as, I think this is particularly important for the insurance industry as well. So would you mind just taking a step back and walking us through, you know, the evolution of the industry within Thailand over the last 12 years that you've been in charge, as well as Ocean Life Insurance role within that changing landscape?
Okay. I would say within the last 12 years, life insurance industry has been growing at the initial stage extremely well. Okay. Life insurance penetration in Thailand is still quite low. If you count number of policy per population, it's only less than 40%, meaning that there must be more than 60% of the population not having insurance policy today. So potential for growth is definitely there. In early 2010, 2012, 2013, there's a tremendous growth within life insurance industry, and usually it was has been grown through bank assurance distribution. And you could imagine the typical product growing through bank assurance is endowment. And usually at that time, there's a lot of guarantee endowment that that gives a better yield than bank deposits. So the bank found it easier to sell it with long-term endowments compared to bank deposit. So that helps the industry grow a lot over those years. And then for the last 3 to 4 years, apart from COVID's situation, the industry also understand that we are heading towards, and we have been in the low interest rates environment. And with that environment, the guarantee endowment with fixed yield are becoming much harder for insurance or insurers to sell. Not just to sell, to produce that kind of insurance product. So the industry has been shifting more towards protection, towards non-guarantee endowments, such as participating policy, or even to go into unit-linked universal life insurance product. And that's how the market has been growing. To me, Ocean Life Insurance, we had been having our core value focusing on sustainability. And we could talk about it later on in much more detail. But the meaning of sustainability to me is about my duties to make sure that this company will sustain over a very long period of time, because we are accountable for servicing the customer, not just throughout their life. A lot of time it's beyond their life into their children's, you know, their family, their loved ones. So my role is about making sure that company will remain profitable, financially strong. We know what we should sell, what can we offer, and the product has to be competitive. Otherwise, we cannot sell it. So Ocean Life is the same as many other insurers, where we have to shift our product sales from traditional guarantee endowment into more of the non-interest sensitive kind of product, which is protection, health riders, etc.
Okay. Aside from the products, Khun Nusara, let's dive down a little bit deeper into your business within Thailand itself. I mean, we note from your annual reports, you know, I understand that something like your distribution channels, over half of it is through agents, about 40%, I believe closer to 40% is through bancassurance. And what we have seen is there's been, especially over the last 1 to 2 years, there's been a rise in what you classify as digital, postal, and telephone channels. Let's talk about that for a bit. So, you know, over the last 10 years, how do you think, or how do you see your distribution channels changing? How has it changed over the last 10 years? And looking forward, how do you expect it to evolve as well?
Yes. I guess it all started with consumer. We noticed consumer behavior change. We noticed that mobile usage is throughout Thailand. Some people even have 2 or 3 mobile phones. We understand that consumer behavior are shifting with digitization. So since 2016, I and together with management has been driving the company towards becoming digital insurers. So it all started in 2016. Initially, it started with the common sense, like we know the customer wanted to get the service anywhere, anytime, through any device. They may not want to walk into the branch that we have throughout the nation. They may want to directly transfer the money to you. They may want to get claims through online, for example. In 2015 and 16, that's still an early stage. So first of all, what we do is we look into the service that we provide to the customers, because insurance is not just about selling the product. It's also selling the product and services linked to the product. And as you approach more of the health insurance product, then other services become into play. So we look at our service in terms of starting with web application first. And we know that, hey, but it's not convenient for customers, you know, to get into worldwideweb.ocean, etc. We look into consumer behavior using more of the mobile phone. You know, we look at the banks using their mobile apps. And then we found the challenges, because the challenge is that insurance has very low touch point with the consumer. Usually it's about either study about the product, buying the product, and then payments. And that's it, until they have incidents where they need to have some claims, then they have the touch point with the company. So despite the fact that we have the web service, despite the fact that we have the mobile apps, we realize that we need to reach out to the consumer much more closer. And in Thailand, LINE and Facebook are the two biggest social medias and applications that people here are using in Thailand. So, you know, people downloaded mobile apps and then they just drop it, not using it, because you have low touch point. So what we did was we moved towards them by building the platform where we call Ocean Connect, which is using LINE as the main platform. So consumer download the LINE, we attract them to download through stickers, cute stickers is always there, and then trying to induce them to apply through LINE. And then they probably don't know where they are anyway afterwards, but it's easier for them to go through LINE, which Thai people open lines every day. You could send them notification, you could communicate with them. And then we move them into, they don't know whether they are in the mobile application or in the web service that we do. That's how we call improving the service side to become much more seamless through Ocean Connects. But that's not it. I mean, our job doesn't stop and it's never finished within the digitization programs that we do. Social media is very important, and communicating to them frequently through all social media, such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LINE is always there. So that's how we approach. And then during those days, we also started what we call Ocean Life Online to do the online sales. Whether I have large volume at that time, no, I don't. But I decided that we have to do it so our team can learn and they can understand consumer behavior. And once they understand, they could quickly adjust their service, adjust the program and everything so that it's more customer-centric as they learn it goes along. Yeah. Yep. And then we have been able to grow it. But still, it's still a small portion within our industry, but it has grown a lot in terms of online sales. It's the same with many other insurers in Thailand. You know, life insurance is much more complicated than the non-life insurance. People usually don't just go into searching online and buy it easily until they are they know the product or have very good experience with insurance product. And the simple products are the endowments type of product or tax deductible type of products. But usually they will try to talk to someone, whether it be their friends, asking them whether they have experience in buying life insurance or having recommendation in terms of where should they buy, who should they buy. So branding become much more important as you are approaching more digitization.
Do you think that the rise of digital platforms or even digital-only distribution channels is that, do you see it more as a threat? Do you think that there will be eventually a point where, and you're very familiar with the regulatory framework in Thailand, do you think that the digital space within the insurance industry in Thailand will be disrupted because of digital channels, or will the current existing players be able to latch on these new channels? As you mentioned, one of the biggest benefit of taking a digital approach is that you are forced to be a lot more customer-centric. Right, within your sales and marketing, within your how you communicate with your clients or prospects pre-purchase as well as post-purchase. So my question goes around this idea of the rise of digitization. Do you think that will be a threat or actually a boon for current insurers like yourself?
I think it's both a threat and also opportunity for life insurance companies like us. The threat is that there could be someone that could be anywhere in the world, such as virtual life insurance company that could be anywhere in the world trying to sell insurance to the Thai people. But then you know that when you buy insurance, you look into the trust. You wanted to know the company. You want to know the financial strengths of the company. So as long as those threats and the virtual insurance company are on the same level playing field with us, that's what we have been telling our regulator, that's what we have been saying at ASEAN Insurance Council, which I did attend when I was the president of the Thai Life Insurance Association. It's also opportunity for us. And to me, digital insurance is not just about selling insurance. I think in order for us to sell insurance, the service, digital service has to be there. And you know, the customer who buy insurance online would want to get the services online as well. So it's together with communication, servicing, and it's not just insurance service. It goes beyond that into a bigger ecosystem that link insurance business into health provider like telemedicine, hospital, etc. So to me, it's both a threat, but it's also opportunity for us to improve how we serve our customers.
That's a great point. So going back, you know, we mentioned earlier, you have more than 17,000 agents nationwide. Yeah, you mentioned 140 plus branches. Obviously, it's taken 70 plus years for you to get to where you are. You know, you've diligently built the business. And a lot of these digital native companies, like you mentioned, you know, they hope to scale a lot faster, right? Take that into account, because we do have a lot of listeners out who are listening from outside Southeast Asia as well. What do you think cultural nuances are in Thailand, which, you know, people don't factor in when they look at starting purely digital businesses? Because, for example, for the consumer behavior for trying to buy something on Amazon versus a retail store, you don't really have a relationship with your retail store, right? And Amazon, Shopee, Lazada, they promise you items in at the click of a button. But the buying behavior for insurance customers surely is different, right? So do you want to talk through maybe just the cultural differences within the insurance industry in Thailand that you think might be a positive or negative for pursuing digital only or digital channels?
You are right. You have to look into the context of each individual country, and it's different. For example, China is a cashless society, so digital become much more easier to Chinese people. For Thailand, we're still using cash a lot, despite the fact that the finance ministry, Bank of Thailand, are trying to push for cashless society, right? So culturally wise, there are a lot of people who don't want to use digital. But I believe one day, every country will move towards much more digitization, okay? We just don't know how long it takes for Thailand to reach that point. Many insurers in Thailand have built the systems that would be able to allow customers to do all digital transactions. But adoption rates, despite the fact that it has been growing over years, but it's still a long way to go before you could adopt and scale up the digital sales. Okay, I do believe that the Thai people still, because insurance is a more complex product and have lots of conditions, terms and conditions. So the help of some of the agents to help explain, or customer service center to help explain to the customer, are still needed. Okay, one day those can be substituted by AI or the system that you could do. But I noticed that when I do the online sales, sometimes my customer will go back and check with their friends, or asking someone, or even if I ask, would they like to buy it with us directly, or would they like to talk to some of the agents to help them? Usually many people would say they want the agent to help them, asking the agent. So currently there's a balance between human touch and digital touch. I do think that over the long-term periods in the future, we would be moving more towards digital touch, definitely. But if you assume that you could digitize and then come in and sell life insurance, it probably won't be that easy. And comparing life insurance product is not as comparing apples and apples. And despite that, Apple has various kinds of Apple. But one day, you know, everyone will learn and be able to come up with some of the AIs to help the consumer understand it, like comparator websites, for example.
Do you see your customer buying cycles reducing, especially during COVID, right? During COVID, an interesting question would be what happened? Maybe you can briefly talk about what happened to your agents. You know, they can't go out to meet their clients. Your 140 plus branches nationwide, were they still operating? I guess over the last 2 years, people have gotten used to, you know, moving from that personal touch into a digital space. What do you think will happen? And Thailand has just opened up, right? So do you think things go back to normal immediately? How do you see business changing after this prolonged period of lockdown?
I don't think life will go back to normal as we had been in the old days anymore. Okay. And during COVID, I have been saying that we have to believe that COVID cannot stop us in doing the business. So definitely company like us who had started to be digitized, we are able to work from home. At the peak in 2020, we were having the head office people working from home, about 83% of the total employee at head office. Definitely branch can remain open unless they have got COVID within the branch. Definitely consumer have been adjusting themselves, and COVID has been escalating the speed of adjusting into digitization much faster than before. And not just the consumer, but it's everyone here in Thailand, okay? But life has changed already. Company like us move into much more non-face-to-face kind of events, like learning online for the agents, training online for the agents, virtual gathering events for the agents, things like that, okay? What's more important is that during COVID, consumer don't want to see the agents. They was afraid that they would get COVID. Agents don't want to see consumer. How do we work around it? In Thailand, there's a program called Digital Face-to-Face, or actually it's a non-face-to-face, and using digital as a sales tool to help them sell. For Ocean Life, we found out that during certain time last year when we launched the new new versions of the digital face-to-face program for our agents, they were able to contribute the sales through that process up to about 25% of our total sales within the same period. The outstanding agents are the one who could adapt themselves to this VUCA world, that's what we call, right? And they could learn to use the digital, like line, recording conversations, recording the videos, do online presentation to the consumer. And that's how they become successful and still getting the MDRT awards. For those who do not adapt, they will find it very difficult to survive in this VUCA world.
A quick question, and this could be a little bit off topic, but I'm curious, your MDRT composition, has it been consistent or is it a new kind of breed of agents who are doing well over the last 2 years?
It has been consistently in the industry for a long time. For Ocean Light, I think we have been doing that for the past 5-6 years. The numbers of agents qualified for MDRT and up until COT, the card at the table, had been increasing. And those, you can prove that because they have adjusted to the new normal using all the digital equipment. They even use social media as a way to communicate themselves into their groups of customers that they take care of.
I see. That's fantastic. You know, let's take another deviation here. You mentioned you run two international schools and you talk about educating your consumers, being in touch with your consumers. I think there's something around this as well, because if you look at the demographics in Bangkok, I think more people have smartphones than those who have actual bank accounts, or in your case, insurance. And I think that's a general trend we've seen here in Southeast Asia. You know, more people have smartphones versus basic banking services. As a private company, you know, Ocean Life Insurance, what role do you think you play in advancing, promoting digital literacy as well as financial literacy? And are you running any programs around that?
Yes, I think we do at different levels. Definitely, it's the role of both regulators and as well as insurers. As an insurers, we work through the association, and Ocean Life also do it directly by us. We are very active on social media like Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, for example, and we have been educating to general consumers about the benefit of life insurance and also the need for life insurance. A lot of people do have need, but they don't know that they have needs for life insurance. For example, today you have people coming to us to say, I want to buy COVID insurance. And I said to them, do you know how many death rates of COVID here in Thailand versus how many people dying out of cancer or heart disease or you know, other kind of diseases? So we took active roles in educating general consumers to understand that there are other health matters that you have to worry about, not just the COVID. And we also start educating people from in looking into good health. For Ocean Life, we have announced our ESG sustainability policy beginning since last year and continuing to this year. And we focus on love and sustainability. We call it sustainability with love, okay? And we use the three pillars. And one of the first pillar is about health awareness. Love your health, and a good health start with yourself. How do you take care of yourself so that you become a good health person? So all of those education in terms of preventive measures are there within all of our social media. But social media reach out to a certain selected clients, right? We also using our agents, which is a large force of agents throughout the nation, to communicate the same thing. How do we make sure they do that? We put some of the contents into their iPads so they could show that to convince the consumer that there are needs to take care of your health, there are needs to take care of your financial needs through life insurance. And since I talk about it, probably the second pillar is about your financial needs, love your wealth. If you're worried about your loved one, there's way that you have to save money for your loved one, whether it be children's education, in case something happened to you, or even if you love yourself, you should try to save money for your retirement so you could enjoy life the way you want to be, right? So second pillar is about love your wealth. And the third pillar is about love the world. And when we talk about love the world, I think insurance is one of the business that help people in this society become a much more healthy people, having financial literacy to save themselves for the rainy days, right? I think we are doing that in that sense as well, apart from go green, recycling plastic bottles or reducing energy, using less paper, etc. So those are the concepts of sustainability that we build through the three pillars: love your health, love your wealth, and love the world. And we have been communicating that a lot through agents, social medias. But I think it's more important to engage our people, like the 17,000 agents and 1,750 employees that we have got within our organization, to be actively take part in this sustainability kind of concept. Okay. Apart from that, through Thai Life Assurance Association, we also actively work with Security Exchange Thailand in the program to try to educate young children in school and high schools to understand about financial ways to save finance, insurance knowledge, and we give them scholarships on the annual basis for them to compete and receive scholarship for those kind of competitions.
Yeah, I think this is a common thread that I see across Southeast Asian nations, right? There are two types of education that are in focus now. One would be skills-based, so stuff like around finance, and one would be digital literacy. The thing about digital literacy is everybody, like you say, you know, everybody's online and on Facebook every day in Thailand and in Indonesia, and they quickly learn about the nuances of digital technology, whereas financial literacy is still a bit tougher. You know, I think the boundaries or the limits of financial literacy is still as present it is today as it was, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago, before digital channels. You mentioned something about ESG. I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to just pick your brain a little bit about that. We've seen a lot of companies in Southeast Asia embark on ESG initiatives. I'd like to understand how ESG is implemented within Ocean Life Insurance, or you know, as a whole, is it consistent with Ocean Group? And how is it structured? Who are the people who are responsible for forming the policies, ESG policies, as well as implementing and monitoring these, whether these policies are being effected?
Yes, I think it all started with the top management, whether we believe in it or not. So my first conversation was with the management that whether they believe that is the right way to go. I do believe that people don't just buy insurance from any company. They want to buy things from a good company. And we know that the problem in this world, whether it's COVID, whether it's catastrophes that happen in various areas in the world, it all happened because of us as human and what we did to the world. So I do believe that large organizations are partly accountable to help saving this world together so that we could pass on the world to the younger generations in the future. So first of all, I have to talk to the management whether they're buying for that. But not just that, I think it automatically benefits the company. A lot of things that we are doing in saving this world will help reducing the cost within the company, reducing paper, reducing water usage, reducing electricity consumption, for example. And a lot of things, I think when the management buy in already, the next step is to engage our people to be involved in generating ideas. So we started with rewards given to great ideas and showing what you do and show it on social medias. So I have seen my agents on Facebook showing what they have done, growing plants or saving energies or collecting plastic bottle to recycle it, for example. So I think engaging our people is important. So they are part of the idea. When they are part of the idea, it is their idea. It is what they want to do. It is what they want to show. And don't underestimate the power of these people, because they go out on social media, they could influence others. So that is how we started it. It might be involved with a little bit of incentive to them so they would want to do it. But I would believe that incentive is at initial stage, but after a while, it becomes the habit. We also have the program where Ocean Life collects plastic bottle and recycle it, and then turn into PPE, which is something that is needed in these COVID situations. But in order for us to do it, the most important thing is we have to have the system. a lot of end-to-end process has to be changed. And it's only through building up the system where we could reduce the paper rather than issuing the plastic cards for member cards to use the health benefit, the group insurance benefit. They can use virtual card, which is on mobile apps, for example. All of these indirectly return back to company in terms of reducing our cost. And I think it helps customer in the sense that the end-to-end process gets improved, they get faster service. And during COVID, it helps because they don't want to come into the company to get their cards or anything. So they get digital cards. Payment channels are on digital cards, which everything is on their mobiles now. They don't need to have it sent from my company, definitely. So it all starts like that. In terms of organization, who's in charge of it, definitely, I think everyone is accountable for it. But the key drivers started with HR and marketing. They are the marketing are very creative. They'll be the one who create the ideas how to do it. HR are very creative in that they know our people, they know how to communicate, they know how to give incentive to them to start and make it fun for everyone to join this kind of program. And it's pretty much in line with our group company. Ocean Life is part of Dai-ichi Life Insurance Group, which is multinational life insurance who has a base in Japan. They also have life insurance in the United States, Australia, India, Indonesia, for example, and many other countries. So Dai-ichi promised that they will try to reduce the CO2 emissions by 50%. By 2025. I think they started about a couple of years ago, and they want to reduce much more than that by 2050, for example. So we are part of the Dai-ichi Group. We also believe in the same thing they do. So we joined with them. And the group helped in terms of hiring some experts to help us in calculating. And I don't know how it's done yet, but I don't know how many 30,000 plastic bottle can be converted into the reduction of CO2 footprint, for example. But I'm willing to wait and to work and collecting the data as the way I could collect. And then hopefully I could be proud to say how many percentage of CO2 emissions I could help reducing within Dai-ichi Life Insurance Group. But it helped reducing our cost, definitely.
That's great. That's always very nice to hear. I think a lot of companies, actually conglomerates, large enterprises are actually moving towards ESG as well. And it's very interesting to hear the different initiatives within each organization. And I think it's interesting as well because each country, each company has different cultural nuances within Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore as well. I think each native company tries to create ESG initiatives which are relevant to their local markets. Thank you very much, Kunnasara, around that. Before I let you go, just one final question, so a group of final questions here. We always end our podcasts with the same question, right? Because I think for a lot of people looking at Southeast Asia or even within certain markets in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, where do you think growth opportunities are, not just within the insurance industries? Where do you think growth opportunities are within Thailand? And also where do you see growth coming for Ocean Life Insurance over the next 5-10 years?
If I can start with insurance business first, I think the growth is definitely there. You know that in terms of number of policy divided by population is less than 40%. You know, there are more than 60% not having insurance policy. But then I think it's important to try to understand why are they not having insurance policy? Is it because they cannot afford to? I think poverty is one of the key problems why people cannot have insurance. Attitude and branding is another thing as well. So it's important to build a trustworthy brand. And that's what Ocean has been trying to do. So I believe potentially for overall growth in the industry, it is there. What is challenging us is the low interest rate environment. So to grow life insurance, you have to focus on selling more protection, which is traditional ways of life insurance, unit-linked type of products, non-guarantee endowments, people still wanting endowments here in Thailand, but it is hard to sell guarantee or high yield endowment. So moving towards participating policy, moving towards unit link, universal life protection, definitely health is something that people are looking into. COVID situation taught people to worry about their health. They taught people to worry about the health bill. Being in the hospital, it's very expensive. That hospital bill has been increasing over the past 10 years. So I think awareness is there. Opportunity is there because people wanting to get guarantees on health insurance somewhat. The challenge is, can we manage the abuse, frauds within health insurance industry? Can we, if we can, then I think the premium bill will increase much slower. It will increase with inflation. If they cannot manage the fraud and abuse within the health insurance industry, definitely the burden goes to someone. So I think, I mean, if you read through some of the Office of the Insurance Commissioner's strategic plan for 5 years, it covers the idea about fraud and abuse. And that's part of what I mentioned to them when I was the president of Thai Life Assurance Association, that it's important that we have the data to collect about people who are involving with fraud. And I use the term abuse as well. Sometimes it's not just pure fraud, but it's abuse. Such as you can see from the non-life insurance lately that went into trouble with the COVID insurance policy where yep. If you have COVID, I pay you the lump sum amount. Basically, that's probably unavoidable because if people want to get COVID so they get a claim, then it's probably not the right way to do the insurance. In terms of other business in Thailand, I think definitely healthcare is one of the areas. Thailand is entering aging society. There'll be more and more older people needing healthcare services. And that's the area where I think the growth would be. Third area is the IT and ecosystem kind of concept platform. I think, like I said before, it's not about selling insurance only. But it's the services that insurance are providing and linking that to other kind of services that the consumer needs seamlessly. How could we do that with the hospital, with the telemedicine, telepharmacies, you know, all of those startups that link with us today?
Thank you, Kunasara. I think that's a very good point. You know, Thailand today is still known to most of us as the land of the smiles. Going digital doesn't necessarily mean we need to get rid of the smiles. And it's good news because I think a couple of weeks ago, there have been so many developments and Thailand is ready to open up to the rest of the world as well. So we hope that, you know, there will be some form of normalcy, even though Zoom meetings, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams have become the norm over the last 2 years while we wait for borders to open again. But again, thank you very much for your time today. You know, I think it was a pleasure speaking with you, and I wish Ocean Life Insurance all the best, and hopefully we'll be seeing you soon in Bangkok.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. For more information about business growth in the ASEAN region, please visit our website, www.iotbusiness-platform.com.